Welcome to Pastor Goss Sunday School Class, a weekly gathering in the main fellowship hall of Faith Assembly, North Fort Myers, Florida, featuring the insightful and relevant teaching of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. Thank you for joining us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
God, then I'm just going to try to make you miserable. And he will do everything within his power to put life circumstances, to put your mind, you know, remember, he comes into the mind, put your body. He's going to do everything he can so that you don't get to enjoy the blessings of God. And so that you serve God, but there's no joy in it. You serve God, but it's drudgery. It's not a delight. You serve God, but you're not happy. You know, it's always amazed me how somebody can call themselves a Christian and look so pitiful. They call themselves a Christian, but they're so mean and nasty. So he will do everything up. He will pull up your past and keep throwing it in your face. He will cause you to begin to doubt your life and doubt where you're at. He will begin to do everything he can so that you don't get to enjoy life. Because they're going to serve God. Then I'm just going to make them miserable. And so he will do everything within his power. He knows all your buttons, doesn't he? He knows what needs to be addressed, so he's going to do everything he can to create wrong thoughts in your mind. He's going to do everything he can for your son. He's going to attack all those areas. Okay, I know I can't get you to quit serving God, but I will just make your life miserable so that you won't ever experience the joy. Illustration. So you and somebody have a fallen out. And you know that God says, look, I want you to live in happiness and joy. I want you to have rich relationships so that when something happens, I want you to forgive one another. And Satan whispers, you better not forgive them. They'll do it again to you. You better hold on to this. You better make sure. Don't do it. And so you don't forgive. And you become bitter. Now who's won? Satan has. Okay, and he will do like that over and over again throughout your life. Throw up your past in your face. Do everything he can so that you just don't get to enjoy life.
The Bible says if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. So can that really work?
So you see what he does? So I think, boy, I think that this becomes a great tool that he uses to cause you to be discouraged. Now, the third one is similar to it. He wants to separate you from others. The greatest commandment is loving God. The second is just like unto it. Love others like you love yourself, right? So he will do everything he can to bring division within people. So, he says, okay, they're going to be a Christian, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make their marriage miserable. And I'll make it so that they walk out on each other. Who won? And yet we don't see him doing that, do we? And so he does everything he can for you to be offended, for you to get upset with somebody, for you not to have any friends. Well, I want to have a lot of friends, you know, but I just don't understand that people just don't like me. Well, you can fix that. You can become a better person to get along with. You don't have to work at being so different. You can be encouraging to people. It doesn't have to all be about you. Fourth one, he wants to stop you from being a witness. In other words, I'll let you serve God. But when non-Christians look at you, I'm going to make it so they don't want anything you have. Because if that's what being a Christian is like, I don't want that. He's going to make you be afraid to talk about what you believe. He's going to make you be afraid to stand up for what you believe. He'll do everything he can so that you, your life for God being lived isn't reflective of who God is. And so what he's doing right now for every person is these four things. Doing everything he can to keep people from accepting Christ. And if they accept Christ, then he's going to do everything he can for you not to enjoy life and to make life harder than it needs to be. I mean, after all, Jesus gave us principles to live by, right? And if we live by those principles, he promised life, didn't he? So the problem is not with life. The problem is I'm not following the principles. And then he's going to do everything he can for you not to get along with people, because relationships demand work, don't they? They demand forgiveness. So he'll keep you always offended. He'll keep you separated. He'll let you have a really good relationship with somebody, and then he'll step in and cause a little something to happen so that you go another way in another direction. Well, I don't want anything more to do with that. And you just eventually retire away from everybody. And now I got one or two close friends, and that's all I can have, and that's all I need, because nobody understands me, and nobody knows what it's like for me, and they just don't get it, and they just say mean things to me, and you know, I'm tired of being hurt by people, and blah, 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 blah. And is that really how a Christian lives?
One of my favorite books is the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis.
Yep.
And what was said there, if you can't keep them from being a Christian, then get them to be kind of a connoisseur of Christianity, that you notice everybody else's faults except your own. And so that's how Satan does work. Mm-hmm. If he can't keep you from being a Christian, then he's going to not make you a good Christian. He wants you to be able to look at other people and see their faults. And that's really a sad situation when we allow it.
It's a great book if you want. If you're into reading, The Screwtape Letters. It's a book C.S. Lewis wrote, and it's a series of letters from Satan to a demon that Satan's trying to help grow up and tell what to do and how to get people to not serve God. It's a great read. The Screwtape Letters. The demon that he's writing to is named Screwtape. And so, just a fascinating book. But, you see, there's only four things here. But when you look at them, how much do they play in our life? And isn't this what life is all about? And Jesus comes in and says, I've promised you a rich and satisfying life. I want you to love others like you love yourself. I want you to let your light shine before all men. So what's Satan going to do? I'm going to do everything I can to stop that. And we have to be smart enough to know what he's doing, so that when you have a wrong thought about somebody, you have to say, no, that's not right. And when you're wanting to do something that goes against what God says to do, you have to say, no, that's not right. All Satan is doing is tempting you to make a bad decision so that you don't enjoy life, so that you have problems with relationships, and so that you're not a witness. Questions? It sounds so simple, doesn't it? But it's not, is it? It's not.
He also says something about when you're in church, make sure you don't pay attention to what's going on, but you notice everybody else and what they're doing.
So we've told you all this. This is how Satan operates. This is what he comes to do. This is what he's doing. And these are the issues. So if you're going to defeat him, you have to defeat him in these areas, don't you? And you have to understand, okay, I see what he's doing. I see what he's trying to accomplish. I understand this now. So now I will do whatever I need to do so that that doesn't happen to me. Now, the Bible fortunately tells us how to do this. That's good news, isn't it? So he's going to tell us, here's what Satan wants to do. I can tell you how not to let it happen. Begins with, and let me, I'm picking up the title, Standing Firm. That's what we've chosen the title, this whole little series. The Bible does not tell us to attack the enemy. It tells us to stand firm. Well, I just want to go out and defeat Satan. Well, that's not your job. Jesus Christ has already done that, and you're not him. And your job is to stand firm. To stand firm in what? To stand firm in the truth. We're in a war. Stand firm. Let me give you some more scripture. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Stand firm. 1 Peter 5:8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you've suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. Everybody around the world is going through these same things. Satan's doing the same thing with everybody. I want to keep them from being a Christian. Oh, if they become a Christian, I want to keep them from having a satisfying life. I want to cause division among them. I don't want there to be unity, because the Bible tells us the real power in the church comes from unity. And I want to destroy their witness by the way they act, by the way they talk. I want to do whatever I can to hinder that. And he's doing that all over the world. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. He called you to salvation when we told you the good news, now that you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. With all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you, both in person and by letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us by his grace, gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you, strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. Stand firm. I love this passage in Exodus. Children of Israel are out of Egypt. They get to the Red Sea. The water's there. In Exodus 14:12, didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? It's all the people grumbling against Moses. We said, leave us alone. Let us be slave to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch. The Lord will rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Now we quote all kinds of verses. The battle is the Lord's. Okay, then why are you taking over his job? You know what the enemy wants to do. You want to know one of the great ways you can defeat Satan? I'm going to tell you one. It's a secret, but I'll give it to you. Get along with everybody. Get along with everybody. You know? That will just tick him off. Okay, be a joyful Christian. live in the joy of the Lord. That makes Satan ticked. He hates it. Be a witness. Then others will go, wow, what makes you so different? Here, let me tell you. Well, you know, God's done a lot for me. Boy, Satan doesn't like that. But no, we've got this image of, I got to go beat him over the head with a club so he leaves me alone. When in reality, you want to defeat him? Stand firm in what you know. Doesn't mean you don't do anything. It just means you stand firm in the faith and in what you know. I would your wife, but not you.
Yeah. The devil is not a mind reader.
Mm-hmm. He's not a mind reader. Right. Let me just tell you something. He's not a mind reader. But if you're a parent and you've had kids, you know what they're thinking. You know their patterns. You know their tendencies. And you say to somebody, well, you're thinking, don't tell me what I think. And when they say that, you know you just have. So he knows that about us. We can't read minds, but you can look at people and pretty much tell a lot of times what they're thinking. He knows our weaknesses. Right. He knows our weaknesses. And here's the thing. All of us pretty much have the same weaknesses. Mind. Body, soul, spirit, all of that.
I was complaining to God one day, and I was saying, God, you said you came that you would have abundant life, and this does not feel like abundance. And over the next few weeks, I realized he corrected me and showed how many times I was not obeying him. In little subtle things in my mind,
yeah. And you don't need to go attacking Satan. You just need to stand firm in the truth. It's where a lot of people, you know, well, I want to pray against Satan, stop him doing this and this. Satan's going to do what he's going to do. What you just need to do is stand firm in the obedience. Now, Ephesians 6:10 is one of the classic verses that tells us how to do this and how to stand. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Okay, that's what I want. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. Okay, so how do I stand firm against the devil? Put on the armor, right? Okay. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirit in the heavenly places. In other words, the battle is in that heavenly realm. It's a spiritual battle. It's not a physical battle. So spiritually, I have to understand this isn't about, I'm not fighting people. I'm fighting against the spiritual forces. They're there to cause me not to have what God has for me. Therefore, yes, dear.
One of the reasons why we have fighting with people is we assume we know their motives. I think it's better to always assume the best, not the worst. Assume it that, you know, they didn't mean to come against me. That's not their what they're really trying to do. But we the Satan wants us to assume the worst. And imagine that this person hates me. Stop it.
Yeah. Then you believe, well, we'll get into that a little bit. Okay. Therefore, because we're not fighting flesh and blood, because that's not who we're against, again, here it is, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be standing firm. Now, we live in a time of evil. One day it's going to be over, and we're going to be standing firm. Stand your ground. Notice what you're doing. Standing. Putting on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for believers everywhere. So we're going to go through this list. So if I'm going to defeat the enemy, I have to dress myself. Now notice, you have to put it on. You do not get to walk into your closet where a robot dresses you. And you have to put it on often. You cannot assume I'm a Christian, it's just there. It's not. It's available. It's there for you to put on. But just because you're Christian doesn't mean you're dressed. So you have to put it on. Yes?
Can you put on one piece of armor and not the rest?
No. It's a package deal. Let's put it this way. You go to war and to battle, and let's say you're a police officer and you're out and you're called to a scene. You say, you know what? I don't think I need the bulletproof vest today. But you put on everything else. Okay? What? Isn't that what you meant? That's what she meant. My wife's telling me what I'm thinking, so I'm confused to what I'm thinking.
Why don't you let Naomi get
out? Yeah. And then we all could be confused. No, you don't just get to put on one piece and think, I'm dressed. You have to put all pieces on. Okay? Put on the whole armor of God. Did I answer your question? Okay. They all work at the same level because in our relationship with God, it's all. So it's not, well, this one's really strong now. Now, that might be a place you have to do it and it'll do its work, but it's not just one's better than the other. They're all the same. All of them are there. Not one becomes stronger than the other. I got a gnat flying around here. All the story. Oh, man, there it is again. Okay. Yeah. Boy, man. What? Yeah. Right. It's all the time. All the time. Yep. So this isn't, well, I want this piece. In other words, I want to have a rich and satisfying life, but I don't want to get along with other people. You can't do that. I got it. Okay? You can't do that. It's all. That's a package thing. All of those are there together. So you and I have to put on all of God's armor. And I have to put it all on. So, yes? Right. That might be, God, I really need your protection today in my mind. Hold it. You need your protection in every area of your body. It's not just one part. You need it all, every day. And so, Paul's writing this, by the way, while he's probably in prison and probably chained to a Roman soldier. So he's familiar with this. Now, just so we're clear, if my wife were doing this, and she will probably tell me later anyway, you should have had a person up there in a body armor. You should have all this illustrated. You should have all this, hit the helmet. You should have it all there, blah, 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 blah. Well, I'm not going to pay attention to any of that, okay? Because it isn't that it's body armor. It's that it's righteousness. It's not that it's a belt. It's truth. And so I don't want to focus in on that picture because sometimes I think that gets in the way. And so what we're going to do as we go through this, you have to understand, this is a lifestyle. This is not something you, oh, I'm in a battle, I better go get my armor. This is something every day of your life, as a Christian, you have to consciously put it on. Yes. No. Okay. Yeah. Right. 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 So, yeah. And to the people of those days, that was a great picture. To us, not so much anymore. Still has relevancy. It's still interesting, but that's not going to be the focus, okay? Yes. Right. Right. What do they look like? Right. Yep. Yep. So that's what I'm going to do. All right? So if you're expecting me to get into the whole armor thing, I'm just not into that. Okay, because the issue is what that represents and how that has to be applied to our lives. Now, I've got 5 minutes. I'm going to start the first one. I'm not going to get done. Now, for those of you who still got blanks left, next week, okay? Don't walk out of here and go, what were the rest of the blanks? Next week, okay? So the first one is truth. Truth. We've talked about this. We've been through this. Our biggest problem is we believe what we want to believe. And when you believe what you want to believe, you make the Bible say what you want it to say. And when you believe what you want to believe, you make excuses for your behavior and for what you're doing. Truth is an objective standard that stands no matter what we experience or what we have opinions on. Experiences do not teach you truth. And you have to be careful. Well, I had this happen to me, so I believe. Hold it. You don't take your beliefs from what you've experienced. Truth comes from God's word. It's true. And if it's true, it's true all the time in every place. There's something about when you speak that I always keep in the back of my mind. If I'm going to say something, I better be able to say it here, and I better be able to say it in Africa. Because it's always the same. It's not circumstantial. It's not cultural. It's not what you just don't understand. It is absolutely true. And truth prompts us to own up to sin. God says, I'm a sinner. That's the truth. And so truth invites us to bring out into the open those things we try to hide. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth because he works within you, trying to get you to be honest with yourself. And many times our biggest problem is we're trying to put on truth, we're trying to be a person of truth. It's hard to do that when you're believing some lies in your life. Well, my mom and dad never loved me. That's probably a lie. They probably love you the best they knew how. But they weren't perfect. Well, I just don't believe. Well, that doesn't make it right. And so he says, look, you better understand God's word. It's an application that goes into our life. It's not according to our situations. It's not according to how we feel at the moment. It's not according to, you know, what goes on. Truth is truth all the time. It never changes. It's always there. And if you're going to be effective, and if you're going to wear this armor, it begins with truth. The belt holds everything together. And so you have to be a person who is willing to admit, I don't know it all. Other people know more than me. They say something to you you don't like, they could be right. I have to live by truth. Okay, time's up, but let me give you the verse. And I'll probably cover some more of this next week. 3 John, it only has one chapter, it's verse 4. I could have no greater joy than to hear that my children are following the truth. Jesus is the truth. Now, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. Okay, good, that's truth, that's good. But do you also understand there's some things in your life right now that are hindering your life because you're believing a lie? And here's what I know. In the room today, 100%. 100%. All of us have something right now that we believe that isn't true. Well, how do I deal with that? You put on truth. Holy Spirit, is there anything in my life that I'm holding on to that isn't right and isn't true? How do you know it's not truth? Well, that's the Holy Spirit will bear witness there. You know, is this something you're willing to talk with somebody else about? A lot of issues here. That if you're going to be healthy, if you're going to enjoy life, you got to believe the truth. Because then you'll know the truth, and the truth sets you free. Okay? Next week.
If you would like to hear more from Pastor Goss or the Ministry of Faith Assembly, please go to our website, faith.ag, or email Pastor Goss at phil@faithnfm.com. Pastor Goss Sunday School Class is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida. Thanks for listening.